I'm sure that we've all been missing our regular song service, and for good reason. You know, these songs, these hymns that we sing from time to time, they are good not only to remind us of our responsibility as Christians, our reward as Christians, but also to help us ask ourselves, what kind of life are we living? What's the quality of life that we are living towards that reward, towards being the servants that God would have us to be? There's a lot of hymns that have been going through my head lately. And I know I've been talking to Dad about it as well. And there's so many songs that are likely on your mind as much as they're on our minds. Songs like When We All Get to Heaven. And I tried to begin our service with several of these songs all lined up together there. Sing to Me of Heaven. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven holds all to me. One that I mentioned in my sermon last week, This World is Not My Home. And it's songs like this that are so important to us. And like I said, they help us remember our responsibility, that reward, and question, what am I doing with this life and every day and moment that God has blessed me with? Again, as we talked about last week, during these trying times, we need to be able to look past all the trouble that we're going through right now, and we need to be able to see God's renewed mercy and His blessings that He gives us every day. Well, in the same way, we need to be able to look past this world and see an eternal home that He has prepared for us as well. That's what we need to be looking at. That's what we need to be focusing on in our lives. There's another song that we sing. There are going to be lots of songs this morning. That's kind of the theme that I took off with as I was getting this lesson together. All these songs and what they remind us of. But this other one that reminds us of the blessings that we have for eternity is Mansions Over the Hilltop. In that song it says, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one that's silver lined. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven-bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a robe, and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday, yonder, we will never more wander, but walk the street that is purest gold. In this song, we're proclaiming, I have a mansion. But before we... that should be a claim that we should all be able to make. But before we make that claim, we need to make sure that we can make that statement with certainty. Not just, well, yeah, I think I've got one, or I hope I have one, but I've got one. You notice that the end of that second line, or that second section, I want a mansion, but he started the third one with, I've got a mansion. It's there, it's waiting for me. But again, we've got to ask ourselves, and it doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for 50 years or you've never been obedient and been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. We all need to be able to ask ourselves this question and look at the state of our mansion and consider, do I even have a mansion that's waiting for me? And again, it doesn't matter how long or if you've not become a Christian. This is a question you need to ask yourself. What is going on after this life? What do I have to look forward to? Torture or a mansion? A reward, a great thing that is coming to us, has been promised to us. I'm mindful of what Hezekiah was told there by Isaiah in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. He says, "Or thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Well, if we look at our own lives, we should all be able to realize that we may be like Hezekiah. There may be things in our lives right now that we need to set in order. And if we don't set them in order, we don't have a mansion prepared for us in the end. It's there, but we did not accept that. And we're not working towards those things. Maybe we have something that we need to set in order right now in our lives. But again, that brings to mind another song. That is a song, What Shall It Profit? As Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, "For what will a man be benefited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, that's a real question. That's a real question that we all need to ask ourselves every day. You know, there's the saying that I used to hear a lot when I was a kid, if you've missed heaven, you've missed it all. You've missed everything if we've missed heaven. But how many people are missing heaven? What do we have in our lives that's going to cause us to miss heaven? You know, if we think what's going on right now in our world is bad, just wait. We've got some terrible things coming for us if we don't have heaven for us. And again, I've said this before, just because you wear the name Christian does not mean that you are living the way you ought to. And that's the scary thing. That's the comfort zone that I'm afraid many will get into, that I got into at one point, that, well, I'm a Christian, so therefore I'm okay. I can't have that. I can't let my guard down and just say, well, because I've done what I was supposed to initially, then I'm okay. I've got to check and make sure the status of my mansion and see what's coming for me. But when we consider what heaven is going to be like, it should help us remember that heaven's greater than anything that's going on in this world, anything that we have here on this earth. And since that's the case, we need to desire it. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the lesson. We need to desire it more than anything else here on this earth, which means we should be willing to give up everything here so that we can get that mansion over there. We've read Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 multiple times, talking about the contentment that Paul had. When you think about us being willing to forfeit all of these things so that we can have that mansion, Paul couldn't have the contentment that he had and that he talked about so many times as he did without these things. He couldn't have that contentment if he didn't know for sure that he had that mansion waiting for him when this life was over. He knew it very well that he had that mansion. And again, this doesn't even take into consideration all the things that he had to endure as a Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about several things, beatings, countless beatings, stonings, shipwrecks, perils, all those perils that he talked about there, sleepless nights, various persecutions. He wrote about all these things, but then that next chapter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he kind of summed all these things up. He said, "Therefore, I am well content." Even though he had these things, even though he endured so many things, "I'm well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake." And there's the key right there. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Like I said, Paul knew that he had a mansion. There wasn't a doubt in his mind as to what he was working towards and to what reward was coming there. He knew he had a mansion. He knew, as he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and I believe verse 8, that he had that crown of righteousness waiting for him. "I know I have this. I have a mansion. I have this crown of righteousness. I have a home waiting for me. And it's so much better than all these things that this world has to offer." But again, because of these things, he was well content to suffer, as I said there, for Christ's sake, or as the scripture says there in verse 10. That was his focus. That was his purpose. And we've got to have that same focus today. So this morning, as we go through this and we look at these songs, I want us to look at the lessons that they teach us about heaven, the reminders that they give to us. And the first thing that I want us to focus on and think about is that we need to constantly remind ourselves that this world is not our home. We are just passing through, as the song says. As I mentioned a while ago, you know, there's nothing here on this earth, absolutely nothing. And I'm talking about people, places, or things. There's not a noun alive or here on this earth that is worth us losing our eternal home in heaven. And I know that's the hard part. You know, it's easy to say these things, but I'm not going to allow anything in this earth to cause me to miss my eternal home. But all we have to do is look as far as Lot's wife to remind us that we too may have something in our lives that's holding us back that may cost us our mansion. You consider the story of Lot and his wife and all the things that they had to do. We know the story of what happened to her when she looked back at all those things that she was leaving behind. And that's the powerful yet maybe even scary reminder that Jesus gives her in Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Very simply, he says, remember Lot's wife. Remember what she did. She had a problem with departing from her things. It may be things, it may be people, it may be whatever. But she was so attached to those things that simple obedience to get away from those things and to have that freedom and salvation from that town, she desired the other too much. And that should hit home to us that we may fall into those same things. We can allow ourselves to lose everything because of something here on earth. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul always does such a good job of helping us focus on Christ and on heaven. And that's what he does here in 2 Corinthians 5. Beginning of verse 5, notice what he says here. And consider what we're going through and what we're looking towards as we read this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning of verse 1, it says, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked, for we indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared for us this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we were at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage. And I prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." You know, a couple of times in this passage, Paul talks about our bodies being a tent. We all know that a tent is meant to be temporary. It's never meant to be a permanent dwelling. I know some have tried to make it into a permanent dwelling, but we know that it falls apart. I used to, when I was down living at the farm, I had one of those little pop-up bow blinds to hunt with. And I set it up there, and then I didn't come back for, well, I left that year, I left it up for the next year. I should have taken it down, but I didn't. And I came back that next year, and it was just nothing but the frame was left. That tent had been destroyed by the elements. And so that was a good reminder for me of, man, this nothing lasts here on this earth. I've used the analogy before, not the analogy, but the example before that every time that we go camping, it always amazes me. Before we pull away, I look back at that campsite and I realize that, you know, just moments ago, our tent that we were living in temporarily, all of our stuff was there. Everything that we were at that moment was there. And then just in a few moments, it's gone. We're packed up. And it's almost sad for a minute, but then you remember, I've got a home to go to. I've got something better than that tent and that sleeping bag and that rough ground. I've got something way better to go home to. And so that's the reminder. But we've got to also remember, in the same manner, we're in this earthly tent of this body with all the problems and these elements around us. We've got something so much better, an eternal home that is waiting for us. We've got a mansion that is there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read from that in our Bible study not too long ago, but just as a way of reminder, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, it says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality." And so that tells us we've got a change to make. We've got something to look forward to beyond just the here and the now, and all the problems and so forth. We've got to look past those things and understand we've got something so much greater. And again, as Paul read, as we read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as Paul wrote there in verse 6, we got to understand that while we are here at home in the body, he says, we are absent from the Lord. That means we're going to have earthly problems, worldly problems while we're here. That means we're going to be incomplete to a certain degree while we're here on this earth. We got to understand that. And I think if we remember those things, it'll help us get through some of the situations that we face in life. But in the meantime, as Aiden read to us from John chapter 14, we're reminded that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. We can know that we have that mansion that is waiting for us if we're His children. And that is a great comfort to us. But we've got to keep this mindset that we're only pilgrims while we're here. And I think about that. If you've seen that Indiana Jones movie, The Last Crusade, Sean Connery is there, and he's looking at all the things that are going on there, and he says, "My boy, we are just pilgrims in an unholy land." And that's exactly what we are. We're pilgrims. This isn't our home. We're passing through here to get to our final destination, to the place that we really want to get to, knowing that Christ has gone on to prepare that place for us. Nothing here is permanent. We're just here to serve God and to get to heaven. If you really want to get down to it, that's what we're doing. This is a short stopping point to get to where we want to go. But we've got to think about it this way. We can't stop and set up shop here. If someone were to come to you and they say, "I've got a mansion that's the best of the best, and it's yours, but it's a far distance away. Let's say it's 20 hours away. Well, you start driving out there and you say, "Well, I've got to stop halfway." And you go and you stop at this rundown motel. What sense would it make for you to stop and say, "You know what, I'm just going to stop right here and I'm going to make this my home. I'm going to just, this hotel, I know it's just falling apart and it's full of problems and the roaches are everywhere, but you know what, I'm going to make this my home." That makes no sense whatsoever. But I'm afraid that's what we do sometimes. We say, "Well, this is it. I've arrived." But we haven't arrived. We're only halfway there. That's like, you know, taking beanie weenies instead of a ribeye. That makes no sense. Would you do that? No, you wouldn't do that. Well, I hope you wouldn't do it. But that's what people do every day. And what's even sadder, that's what Christians do every day. Maybe we go for a little bit, and then we just, "Well, I'm tired of doing it, and I'm going to just stop right here." And we forget that we've got a reward. We've got a mansion. And we just give it up. And that's the danger. We got to realize we've got a mansion waiting for us, prepared by Christ, with a street of gold and pearly gates and precious rubies and stones everywhere. And God is there. Why would we give that up? But we can do that with just a moment of deciding to serve ourselves, giving up, and not serving God. It's easy to do it, but so many people will willingly give up their eternity with God for the passing pleasures of this world. And we've got to be on guard against that. You know, we've got to be reminded every day that this world is not our home. This is not the end of the line. But if we want to obtain that mansion that we've been talking about here, we can't hold anything in this world higher than heaven. As the song says, "Heaven holds all to me." Not "heaven holds some to me," or "heaven is a nice place that maybe I'd like to go someday." Heaven holds all to me. And I think youth is one of the dangers of missing out on this part right here. It seems like the older you get, and the more people that are older that I've talked to, they understand this better. They say, "I want to go home. I desire to go home. Heaven is where it is." But here on earth, when we're younger, sometimes we, I think, miss out on that. We forget that heaven is where everything is. And we got to remember, heaven, we can't get to heaven without trying. Heaven isn't some place that we accidentally show up at. You know, sometimes if you're lost while you're driving around, you can drive around for long enough and you'll find where you meant to go. Well, that isn't going to happen with us with heaven. If we're going to obtain that mansion in heaven, we got to desire it above everything else. That's the only way that we can get there. I'm sure that we've all heard the example of, or the illustration rather, of heaven being upstream and hell being downstream. While we're in the boat of life, we've got to decide where we want to go. If we want to go to heaven, we've got to pick up an oar and we've got to start working every day, pushing, 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 realizing that if we stop working and rowing, then we're going to start going downstream. But if we will be consistent and constant, we'll be able to get where we want to go. But the problem is, if we desire heaven, or even if we don't desire, all we got to do is sit there. Sit there and do nothing. Well, we've got to ask ourselves, is that what we're doing right now as Christians? Are we sitting here doing nothing, not working towards our goal? Hell will find us, or we'll find hell. That's the easy way to do it. But that's not the way that's going to get us where we want to go. But unfortunately, there are so many people who are drifting at this time. If we desire to go to heaven, we need to be like Paul. He truly desired to go to heaven. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, he says, "But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake." Paul was conflicted with where to go. And, you know, we've talked about this before. But why was he conflicted? Because he desired, he wanted to go to heaven. But he understood that there was still a need for him here. And so that was his conflict. There wasn't any question as to where he wanted to be. And he'd already worked towards that. He didn't put the oar down. He kept rowing and rowing and rowing his whole life and trying to get as many people on the boat with him as he could. But they each had to pick up their own oar and keep paddling the right way, or else, you know, you can bring other people down as well. But that's a whole other analogy. But have you ever wondered why, how you can study with someone and you can work so hard preparing all these things to help them see the truth, but then you turn around and there's no results to show for it? They've not changed anything. They've not become obedient. Even though you've done all this work to try to teach them and show them, there's no response there. Why is that? You know, I can sit here and I can preach until I'm blue in the face. I can do everything that I can and not have anything that I can see. That doesn't mean that there's not things happening behind the scenes that we can't see. But as far as someone finally submitting themselves to the Lord and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you know, like, we've talked about these things and you know these things. You know that there's a mansion waiting for you, but why are you not responding to that? And I would suggest to you, it's all about your desire. Let me give you an example of that. Let's say I've got $10 million. And I say, this money is yours free and clear. All you have to do is come get it. Are you going to come get it? Sure you will. There's no question as to whether or not you're going to come get it. But here's the thing. I'm not going to have to beg you to come get that money. I'm not going to have to use some flattering words to make it sound more appealing for you to come get that. I'm not going to have to yell and scream, or as some preachers do, beat on the podium and things like that. I'm not going to have to do anything like that. I'm not going to have to keep reminding you to come get this $10 million that's yours. I'm not going to have to text you. I'm not going to have to call you or email you or anything else. You're going to come get that money. Why? Because you desire it. And what that tells me is, when the word is taught, and you know that there is a reward for you in heaven, and you don't respond to it, that tells me you'd never desired it. You know, that's really what it comes down to. And that's kind of a sad thing, you know, a sad way to look at it, but it's a desire. If we want something, we're going to go get it. If we desire heaven, we're going to go get it. It didn't matter what we're going to have to do. We're going to do it. You know, if you offer people $10 million, they'll crawl all over people and they'll hurt people so that they can get it. But why don't we do the same thing for heaven? When we've got a mansion waiting for us, it all goes back down to desire. What is your desire? Your life should show what your desire truly is. If it's here on this earth, then that's going to be apparent. But it should be also just as apparent if your desire is for heaven or not. But if we truly truly desire to get to heaven. As we look at another song, we see there's only one way that we can get there, and that is the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. You know, in John chapter 14, in verse 6, we see that Jesus is talking to Thomas here. And he says to him, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." You know, just a minute ago, as Aiden read there, we looked at the first several verses of John chapter 14. The verses coming up to here. And Jesus is telling them, "Hey, I'm going to prepare you a mansion." But they didn't quite understand how they were going to get to that mansion. And so Jesus tells them here. He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one is going to come to the Father except for me." No one's going to get to that mansion unless they come through me. Nobody's going to get to the Father in any other way except through Christ. And what that does is it eliminates any other type of so-called wisdom that many have to offer. It does away with any other teachings or any other religions because they aren't following the way, the truth, and the life. They're following their way, their truth, and their so-called life. And when they do that, they can't access the Father because they didn't go through Christ and follow His path that He commanded them. And that's why it's so important that we offer complete obedience according to the Word, not according to our Word. That does nothing. That's cheap. As Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate." That's Christ's gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Christ's way is not easy. I'll even go so far to say that it's guaranteed to be difficult. But guess what? His way leads to a mansion. His way leads to life. His way leads to an eternity with God. And I'm sure we would all be willing to say, that's the gate I want. Those are the results that I want. But are we going to choose man's way or God's way, Christ's way? As Solomon tells us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's only one way to that mansion, and it's the way of Christ, not the way of man. But that means that we've got to submit to Christ. Another song that we sometimes sing, "Out of self and into thee." The way home is fundamentally simple. And I understand this whole lesson is a fundamental lesson. But there's reasons for me presenting it this morning. But it all goes back to our attitude. Everything in here is our attitude. Our attitude towards a home. Our attitude towards heaven. Our attitude towards Christ versus ourselves. All of these things are our attitudes. In Matthew chapter 6, or 16 rather, in verse 24, Jesus, another familiar passage to us, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." We've got to deny ourselves. That means if we truly deny, or desire rather, that mansion, we're going to have to give up something. Have to give up something of ourselves. That may mean that we have to give up our relationships with some people. It may mean that we have to give up our lifestyle if it is not in accordance with God's Word. It may mean we've got to give up some of our time and put off some things so that we can worship God when that time comes. We may have to give up any number of things in our lives. When Paul, my brother Paul, was preaching that sermon the other day about the rich young ruler, he reminded us of some things there. God told him very clearly what he would have to give up in order to have his mansion, if you will. And again, he's not talking about, the whole point was not you give up X amount of dollars or you go sell all your things. That's what he needed to do in order to be pleasing. Because that's where the Lord could see the love that he had for those things. But again, unfortunately, the result of that is he went on his way, or went away sorrowful, because he had many possessions. Ultimately, he loved himself more than he loved God. But what about you? What are you going to have to give up in order to obtain your mansion? Do you have relationships that are holding you back from being who God wants you to be? And I'm not just talking about outside friends. I'm talking about relationships, and that may include family as well. Are you willing to give those things up if that's going to allow you to obtain your mansion? Maybe you have a job or a hobby that's holding you back from doing what God wants you to do. Are you willing to give those things up? You know, the hard truth, the sad truth of this whole thing is if we refuse to deny ourselves of these things that are holding us back, then we're willingly forfeiting an eternity with God. That's just the put it in a box. That's all. That's what it is right there. I'm going to decide to serve myself here, or I'm going to serve God and have a mansion there. But one of those choices is a choice, a willing choice to forfeit your mansion. Nobody wants to make that. No one wants to say, sure, I'll give that up. No one would say that, but our actions are going to point to what we're really doing. The Bible makes it very clear that we should be willing to do whatever it takes for us to get to heaven. Do without whatever we need to do without so we can get to heaven, because that's the most important thing at all. But after we deny ourselves, we also need to get into Christ. As Romans 6, verses 3 and 4 points out, Paul again reminds us, says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. That is so clear. Yet some people want to make it so muddy. It's clear. You want to be into Christ? You got to be baptized into Christ, into his death, into newness of life. Be with him through doing these things. Deny yourself, be baptized into him. That's how you get to be where you're going to have that inheritance. But there's too many that will put those things off. How many friends or family or loved ones do you have who reject this? This very verse here, these couple verses, they put off these clear instructions, this great opportunity in order to have an eternal mansion. Another song that we sing, why can't we see? Well, why can't they see what they're doing to themselves whenever they reject or they delay to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins? Why can't they see that? But you know what? Maybe we need to turn that around and say, why can't I see that? Why can't you see that? If you're not a child of God this morning because you have not been baptized for the forgiveness of sins, why can't you see what you're doing to yourself? You are rejecting yourself from an eternity with God. Why can't you see that? Why are you waiting any longer? Yeah, I won't go off into why are you delaying? Repent and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. Why aren't you doing that? But we do. Like I said, people reject it all the time. They delay it and think, well, someday I'll do it. Why not now? There's another song for you. So many songs remind us of our responsibility, our reward, and ask ourselves about what are we doing with our lives. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, Jesus reminds us of the reward for those who will deny themselves, who will put on Christ in baptism. He says there, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What wonderful words those would be to hear. But did you notice that? We're talking about, do you have a mansion waiting for you? Here, as Jesus says it, he says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Not just a mansion, but a kingdom is ours. We are heirs. That means we are royalty as children of God. That's what we have been offered. But that's what so many people reject when they delay their obedience, when they reject obedience. And again, that doesn't just happen when people reject baptism. We can be children of God and we can reject it in the same way. So it's not just a one and done kind of deal. That could be happening right now for Christians that are listening to this. And so we've always got to be looking at this. like I said a while ago, I realize that almost everyone who's listening to this morning has already been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. They're already children of God. But you know what? There are some who are likely listening right now who are not, who have not been baptized for the forgiveness of sins. They have, up to this point, rejected that mansion. They've rejected Christ, or they've put off that obedience to do it. But regardless of whatever state we're in, everyone who's listening right now, while it's hitting on some fundamental reminders here in this sermon, we all need to consider how these things apply to us right now, to my life. Don't think about someone else right now. Think about yourself. Are you working towards that mansion? Or are you sitting there drifting down the river and somehow thinking you're not going to end up in hell? That's what I've got to consider. That's what my family has to consider. That's what you have to consider. And not just today, but every day of our lives that God blesses us to be here. We've highlighted several songs this morning that I hope that we'll all consider, that we'll consider in regard to our own lives, like I just said. I hope that we'll all constantly remind ourselves, again, this world is not my home. This world is not your home. I hope that our hearts will always be honest and honestly be able to say that heaven holds all to you. I hope that we'll always be reminded that the way of the cross leads home, and there's no other way but His that's going to get us to an eternity with a kingdom, a mansion, with God and Christ themselves for all eternity. But then also, as we pursue that mansion, may we always remember that we can only truly serve God by getting out of ourselves and into Him. Again, that's not just a one-time thing. That's a daily thing that we've got to sacrifice ourselves, because the Son sacrificed Himself as that perfect sacrifice. We've got to do that. You know, you look at different examples. We're not going to get into too many of those through as we're bringing this lesson to a close. But I think I'm thoughtful of Abraham. God told him to leave the land that he knew, the land that he was comfortable in. And so Abraham became that pilgrim that we talked about this morning. He left and he wandered the rest of his life. And his whole family, he led them to be pilgrims as well. And even his descendants did not receive that promise until centuries later. But you know what? That didn't change what he was willing to do. He trusted in the promises of God, and so he went. And there's another song for you as well. Abraham was standing on the promises of God. You consider Hebrews chapter 11. There's several other examples of those who trusted in the promises of God. They could only go off of what they were told that Christ would do. And again, they didn't even see the things that came forth. We at least can see what Christ has already done for us. But even in their the faith that they had, without being able to see these things and read about what he actually did, they still obeyed him. They were obedient. But what about us? Being able to see what Christ has already done, are we being obedient today? Knowing that these things have come true and that the promises are real for us. This morning, if you haven't already, won't you do the same thing? Won't you obey Christ? And sacrifice your life to one of service and great rewards for all eternity. If you will bow with me, let's end our sermon with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so humbled that we can be called your children, that you have made that available to us. We are so thankful that you, being our God, our Creator, the King of all things, would allow us to become royalty with you, to be in heaven, in that mansion, that kingdom for all eternity. But we understand that we have some things that we need to do. Help us to remember every day that this world isn't our home, that we are just passing through here. We're pilgrims. We're here for just a moment. Help us to have that kind of mindset and that attitude that we're here just for a moment. Help us to remember that heaven is where everything is, that heaven holds all, and it should be where our heart's desire is. Help us to understand that it is only through your Son that we can have the forgiveness of sins, that we can be called your children, that we don't have to suffer the punishment for the sins that we commit as we turn to you. Help us to put ourselves aside and to live every day as your servants with the promise that's been made for us. Help us to put you on through our obedience, through our baptism, through our asking of forgiveness of sins and prayers and coming to you as our God. Help us to remember why we're here, and that it's there are so many more things that we can look at and focus on, especially being with you for all eternity. We know that we are weak and we're sinful from time to time. Again, we're thankful for your Son, his sacrifice that has made the forgiveness of sins available to us. Help us to all have a heart with open eyes that can see our faults and not try to hide those things. If we have something that is lacking in our lives, if we've not been obedient in baptism, or if we've got sin that's hanging on our shoulders right now, help us to have humility, but also strength enough to do what is necessary to be pleasing children of yours. We pray that you'll be with us now as we continue on with our service. Help us to focus our minds on your Son and his sacrifice for us. Again, help that to be in addition to the things that we have talked about this morning, to see the big picture of what we're doing here. Thank you so much for all of your blessings that you give to us every single day. We pray these things through your Son. Amen. I appreciate your time this morning. I hope these thoughts have been helpful. If you can't tell by the lessons of late what's on my mind, it's probably pretty apparent. But you know what? We've got to preach about and think about things that are meaningful. And, you know, I've talked to Dad about this as well. How can someone go through these times right now without a hope of heaven? How do you get through the day not knowing that what Christ has done for us, the hope that we have, the forgiveness that we have, knowing that there's something so much better waiting for us, but also knowing that if we're not obedient, something so much worse is waiting for us? Again, I've kind of already offered somewhat of an invitation, but this morning, if there's something in your life that is missing, if you're not a child of God, again, why can't you see what you're doing? I hope that you will make that choice and that decision. Again, if you truly desire it, you will do what is necessary to get it done. But again, that shows your desire, whether or not you do it or not. I hope that you have that desire. I hope that you will do what's necessary to have that mansion waiting for you in heaven. Again, thank you for your attention this morning.